Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our monthly Board of Commissioners meeting. May we please begin with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag.
The flag.
The United States of America.
Republic
for which it stands.
May we have roll call, please.
Good evening, commissioners. Chair Hartwig.
I am here.
Vice Chair Griffin. Vice Chair Griffin.
She indicated here on the chat.
Yeah, I see her.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, excuse, no, yeah. She shows up.
Oh, she's here on the chat?
Okay, good, okay.
Perfect. Commissioner Castillo?
She is excused.
Okay. Thank you. Commissioner Tortorich?
Present.
Commissioner Wright? Commissioner Wright? Commissioner Wright?
Chair, we're going to label Commissioner Wright excused.
Okay.
Commissioner Jungley?
Present.
Thank you. And Commissioner Montgomery?
Present.
Do we have a motion to approve the minutes from last month's meeting?
So moved, Tortorich.
Second, Jungley.
All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? The minutes are carried. Do we have any modifications to the agenda?
There are none, Chair.
Thank you. Old or unfinished business?
Chair, there is no old nor unfinished business.
Okay, then we will now move on to new business. Now, since we are doing a virtual meeting here, if there is anyone attending that would like to make public comment regarding any of the agenda items under new business, please raise your hand when the item arises, okay? Thank you. Item A.
Thank you, sir. Item A is authorization to execute a 2-year contract with 3 1-year option terms with HD Supply for maintenance, repair, operating, industrial supplies, and related products in an amount not to exceed $2 million per year. Here to present this item is Andres Manriquez, Chief Operating Officer. Mr. Manriquez.
Hi, Patricia, Executive Director Wells, this is Jennifer Bell. Can you hear me?
I can, yes.
Okay, it looks like the agenda on the Zoom is from last month. At least that's what I'm seeing.
Thank you, Ms. Bell. You're absolutely correct. It is from last month. Thank you very much. We appreciate the correction to that item. While the staff corrects the agenda that has come up on screen, we will proceed with the presentation. I will repeat. This is item A, authorization to execute a 2-year contract with 3 1-year option terms with HD Supply for maintenance, repair, operating, industrial supplies, and related products in an amount not to exceed $2,800,000 per year. Here to present is our Chief Operating Officer, Andres Manriquez. Mr. Manriquez.
Good evening, commissioners. Can everyone hear me? Okay.
Yes.
Thank you. So thank you. I unfortunately, you know, Bruce, you know, Brackett, our, you know, capital improvement department's, you know, director is inconvenienced, you know, tonight, and therefore I'll be presenting, you know, for him. We, as of today, you know, we have approximately 102 units that need to be rehabbed, which includes also units that have been affected by fires. CID, you know, has, you know, from last year picked up the rehabilitation of public housing units, especially the quick, you know, turn, you know, arounds. And in fiscal year 2018-2019, CID was able to produce 33 units in a year. And last year, in the fiscal year 2019-2020, they produced 68. Although CID is improving, you know, dramatically how they rehab their units, we have a need to do it, you know, faster. If we have 102 units, that's still a lot of units that if we do them at 70 units, you know, per year, we still will have, you know, those units plus all the units that will come up, you know, vacant in the following year. So we have, you know, a need to accelerate, you know, the production, and we currently are not able to catch up with the current staff, you know, within the next, you know, 12 months. We plan to do so. Therefore, we're seeking to supplement the staff with contracted resources, you know, and let the OHA, you know, staff concentrate on maintenance and repairs. This, you know, of course, includes, you know, the completing of all interior unit rehabs, which right now it's in a reduced, you know, time span of 25, you know, working days. We also, you know, want to realize efficiencies in unit rehab cost, and by us, you know, doing, you know, the work, you know, through separate, you know, channels, doesn't allow us, you know, for us to achieve those efficiencies. Right now, the current, you know, work that is being done, you know, to the units, you know, through the HD, you know, supply, you know, contract. Is limited, you know, and it's not all inclusive as to what we would like, you know, to do. Right now, we are acquiring this contract through, you know, what we call a piggyback, you know, contract, which allows us to move, you know, this, you know, quickly, but, you know, it certainly is not the very best, you know, option. We are continuing to work with, you know, our procurement department to acquire, you know, other, you know, vendors that, you know, can offer us even better options, you know, in order for us to achieve, you know, a more work for potentially, you know, less, you know, cost. Let me see. I think that concludes my presentation. I did forget something really important. I did, we're expecting, you know, to have an upsurge of applicants during the upcoming opening of the waiting list in the beginning of 2021. So it is important for us to, you know, make, you know, sure that we have, you know, enough units to, you know, provide to new applicants, you know, coming through, you know, the new opening of the waiting list. Here, you know, to answer any questions, that concludes my presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Manriquez. Chair, that concludes staff presentation.
Does anyone have any questions on this item? Is there a motion?
I move the item.
I'll second, Commissioner Griffith.
Been moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Item carries. Moving on to item B.
Item B is authorization to submit a technical amendment to the fiscal year 2021 Making Transitions Work Annual Plan to the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. Here to present on this item is our Director of Policy Implementation and Compliance and Special Assistant to the Executive Director, Dominica Henderson.
Excuse me. Good evening, Commissioners. My name is Dominica Henderson. This action today
if approved, would authorize the executive director to submit a technical amendment to the fiscal year 2021 Making Transitions Work, or MTW, annual plan. We would submit this plan to the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. The technical amendment includes modifications that were already approved as part of the fiscal year 2020 MTW annual plan technical amendment, and the changes that are proposed today modify activities 1006 and activity 1001 to include MTW authorities that would allow OHA to launch a permanent supportive housing partnership pilot program with Alameda County. The authority submitted a technical amendment to the fiscal year 2020 MTW annual plan, which was approved by HUD on April 15th, 2020. Since that approval, HUD requested that the authority resubmit a technical amendment to its fiscal year 2021 annual plan to add previously approved technical amendment activities that were excluded just by the mere fact of timing from the fiscal year 2021 annual plan. We want to make the submission in order to bring it current and ensure that all approved activities, previously approved activities, are included in the most up-to-date MTW annual plan. In addition to incorporating the approved activities, the authority partnered with Alameda County Healthcare Services and Oakland Affordable Housing Preservation Initiatives, or OPI, to establish a permanent supportive housing partnership that will provide local housing assistance with supportive services to 23 families referred through Project Room Key. Resolution 4937 authorized the establishment of this pilot program. And as a result, staff proposes to modify the MTW activities 1006 and 1001 to include the description of this new local non-traditional property-based pilot program. In the technical amendment draft that you received in your packet, you'll see edits to activities 2001 and 1401. HUD instructed staff to include that activity description in this technical amendment in order to ensure the activity was incorporated in future plan years. So these modifications do not require approval today. What will be approved today are modifications to activity 1006, 1001, and table 7. Changes to 1006 describe the pilot program, project the benchmark of serving 23 families using MTW funds, and propose to use MTW flexibilities to assist homeless families with children that are referred directly from the county. If you allow me to share my screen, please. I'd like to highlight additional edits that were made to page 93 of the MTW plan draft. Staff proposes to use funding from the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security, or CARES Act, as well as MTW funds in the initial launch of the pilot program. Long-term funding for the 15 years of the pilot program would be brought before the board for commitment and approval in future budgets and future MTW plans. We mentioned that the projected costs are about $9.2 million over 15 years. The approval today would authorize the activity to be submitted, as well as the use of fiscal year 2021 MTW funds and CARES Act funds to launch the program and provide monthly operating subsidy. The technical amendment serves as a mechanism to update the fiscal year 2021 annual plan to include existing board and HUD approved policies, as well as this new permanent supportive housing partnership. Staff recommends approval of this item.
Chair, I that just concludes our staff report.
Thank you. Do we have any questions on the item? Do we have a motion?
I move approval for adding the technical amendment to our moving toward program.
Second motion by Commissioner Wright.
Very good. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, the item carries. Moving on now to item C.
Item C is authorization to execute a contract with 12C Technologies to purchase up to 100 cellular-based cameras in an amount not to exceed $720,500. Commissioners, this item is to make use of CARES Act funding and respond to the need for additional ability for our property management team, as well as our police department, to be able to have eyes on the property. The cameras will be installed at four of our public housing communities. Lockwood Gardens cameras will be replaced, Peralta Villa, Campbell Village, and Palo Vista. It's in response to what has been an occurrence in the city of Oakland and, quite frankly, in major urban cores where communities are experiencing an uptick in dumping, vandalism to the property, and in some cases, crime. The properties managed by the Housing Authority have had similar impact along with our neighbors here in the city of Oakland, and these cameras will allow our property management team in partnership with our public safety efforts to be able to respond more quickly to situations at the property and to also have a better use of proactive response to situations where the property needs additional care. That concludes the staff report on this item.
Do we have any questions? Do we have a motion?
From Commissioner Wright, I am so happy that this action is finally going to take place because it is long overdue, and I so move that this will be accepted.
Commissioner Montgomery, I second.
All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? And the item carries. Now we're moving to item D.
Thank you. Item D is an informational update on work performed by Helen Dunlap Consulting, including the development on the ongoing development of our five-year strategic plan for real estate development. And it will add a positive impact actually to overall Housing Authority corporate enterprise in strategies to help us to continue the phenomenal work that we've done historically and how to envision where we want to go in the future to serve the community. And here to present on this item and provide a summary of the work status to date is Helen Dunlap. Ms. Dunlap.
Thank you, Patricia. And also I thank all that are in attendance, since I know how difficult it is to participate in meetings at this. Oh, I'm supposed to speak up? Okay. I'll work at that. they want me to take off my mask, so okay. Do you really honestly think that'll help? Oh, okay. Hi, everybody. So I promise to keep this brief because I had originally hoped very much that we would be doing a training session this evening to provide all of you and each other with an opportunity to better understand the development history and to explore the various and sundry programs that you've used over the years to produce the 2,000 plus affordable units that you've produced. Because I remember at our last meeting, there was some real interest in better understanding how right. The rules required that one had to, at year 15, for example, pay money to buy out the old investors at Lions Creek. Unfortunately, partly because you had lots of things to do and also because of scheduling, we're not doing the training tonight, but I did want to let you know that it's not forgotten and that our hope is that during the month of December, we'll have a couple of training sessions. Unfortunately, they'll be by Zoom to both bring everybody up to date on the history of your development activities and also some of the learnings that we've had in doing interviews, looking at old financial statements, understanding the work that the commission has done over the last 40 years or so. It's a really phenomenal record, and I'm looking forward to being able to share that and to have the dialogue. I also wanted you to know that we'll probably do each session at least twice so that it's easier for people to have a conversation, since sometimes this stuff can get complicated. And also that way we're more likely to get everybody involved. Lastly, on that item, I wanted to mention that I'm still, we finished about 90% of the interviews, but the ones that are still not done are a couple of you ladies on the phone. And I think my email must not be working well. So I will be calling to schedule those conversations in the next week while I'm here, because I think it's important to have a one-on-one conversation. I wish we could do it in person. I also wanted to take a couple of moments to bring you up to date on a effort that's in happening in Sacramento, where the treasurer's office is essentially looking at the requirements and criteria for doing new developments, as well as those criteria that they use to allow us to refinance our existing properties, which means put more money into old properties, and to do preservation. There's a national interest, which I think we would all celebrate, to spend more of the public resources on what we call high opportunity, low poverty areas. And that's done essentially by mapping where communities of economic stress are and where they're not, in relationship to the educational facilities in the area, the public transit in the area, and other kinds of things. And we'll have those maps available for folks. Unfortunately, Oakland does not do well when the high opportunity, low poverty areas are mapped in comparison to other parts of the state. I think we can all, if we think about it, we can all understand this. Unfortunately, it means that we're all going to be running up and down the freeway to Sacramento in the next year, lobbying heavily to ensure that communities where you've put much of your effort, in fact, continue to be places that the government wants to invest. It's important not to, for me at least, it's important not to criticize their interest in providing housing opportunities in areas where the schools are good and the density is low and the opportunities, particularly for families, are high. However, when that set of requirements means that seniors in communities in like Oakland find themselves at the short end of the stick, so to speak, then it warrants us all being attentive. And I'm raising this because there's an effort on the part of Ms. Wells and her colleagues across the state, as well as cities like Oakland and mayors like the mayor of Oakland, to lobby the treasurer's office to ensure that there's a more equitable set of criteria. Just out of knowledge, I happen to work in a couple of other places, like Ohio, where they have similar problems in almost every urban market. And the state has done a nice job of alternating between one type of community and the next so that no community ends up waiting for years to get resources. So I hope I haven't confused. Really what I wanted to say to you is that while we've been doing this this strategic work, the ground underneath us is shifting. And the importance of that is that the many priorities you have, whether it's providing more opportunities like the Home Key program that we just heard about, or it's building new developments like was done at Brooklyn Basin, or it's preserving the existing affordability at Lions Creek. Those things all, or it's rehabbing Harrison Towers. Those are all developments that are currently on the list to do that would not fare well under the new state guidelines. And so I think we're not asking you to join the caravan to Sacramento yet, but I think Patricia and I wanted you to be aware that this is happening. And so I'm taking a moment to share that. Mr. Chair, did you want to ask me a question or you were just?
No. Oh, okay. What I gather from what you're saying is that the state is putting obstacles in the way of engaging development in certain parts of the city where we might want to be engaging.
I use this word lightly. It's redlining those. Yeah. It's redlining those marketplaces that don't have the best opportunity for future residents in terms of their schools.
Right.
It's like saying it's not the barrier is not your turn, which is ironic when you think about all the work that's been done in places like Oakland with communities of color that we would hope would be priorities. This is happening all over the country, by the way, under the rubric of furthering fair housing. Yes. And I think it's really very important to recognize that if we lived in a theoretical environment, we would be celebrating this. When you live in an environment where there has been, where a local government and a housing authority have really struggled to produce quality housing, to then find that you're sort of going to be at the bottom of the list is something you want to make some noise about.
So this would mean that I'm just testing understanding here.
Sure,
this
please.
Would mean that if we had an opportunity, we felt, to do a development in East Oakland, that wouldn't be okay.
We could do a development any place that you and the city and others wanted it to be. We just wouldn't be competitive for the resources that,
that's
to
what
actually
I'm talking
pay the
about,
bills.
Right. We would not be supported, let's put it that way.
Yeah, and so if the majority, if I do a new development today, somewhere between 40 and 70% of the dollars come out of the resources that I'm talking about. And that would mean that if we wanted to do those kinds of developments, we'd have to find different money. Yeah. And there's only so much of that lovely stuff called money.
Well, I would be happy to caravan to Sacramento to support this effort if I can add value.
I share this with you because it's going to be really important as we do the training to understand that the rules of the road that we might have used 5 years ago are going to be different as we go forward. And we certainly want to stay actively engaged in producing new. And as when I talked to Commissioner Castillo this afternoon, equally important is preserving every unit you have made that comes out of the ground today. And that preservation will also be not the highest priority because it is where it is physically. So, but I spent a lot of time on this issue. I just wanted folks to know we will be doing training. We will be sending out times so that we can get an opportunity for everybody, both senior staff and commissioners, to participate. And I welcome emails, phone calls, other things to raise questions, ask us to cover other things, et cetera. Patricia, were there other things you wanted me to mention?
No, that I thoroughly appreciated the robust and provocative presentation. And I would just say to the commission that Ms. Dunlap and her team have reached out to so many stakeholders who have been part of the Housing Authority story and current journey. And what has materialized out of this is various members of our leadership staff have had an opportunity at the front end and will have more to be part of these ongoing discussions. So it is unifying our methodology of, as Ms. Dunlap says, preserving the affordable units we have today and being visionary on how to add additional affordability to units to meet the needs of persons who have unique needs here in the city of Oakland and families with children and our elders. So it's very exciting. And I thought that her providing us a summary at the conclusion of the 2020 calendar year would be a great launch for hope and inspiration for 2021 as we figure out how to continue to do good work in new ways, learning from the past and capitalizing on what's available in the future, even if the resources are meager. What will also come out of this, I believe, are stronger partnerships with our stakeholders locally, our other agencies who we've begun to have more robust conversations with.
That and last point is really important. While this is a challenge, there are other ways to engage partners in helping to pay the bill, which we will also be, which came up at our last meeting and will also be part of the learning process.
No, that's great. Thank you. So Chair, that concludes our presentation to the commission. If there are any questions, both Ms. Dunlap and I would be happy to answer them.
Okay, if we have no questions, we are moving on to item E, our consent agenda.
Thank you, sir. On consent, it is a very robust agenda, but several of the items are duplicate. Number one is authorization to execute a one-year contract with CVR Associates, Incorporated for Operations and Policy and Procedure Consulting Services in an amount not to exceed $200,000. And we have two of our representatives who have been working with us on the line, Chris Warren and Frederic Prodar. And number two is authorization to execute a one-year contract with Municipal Resource Group for consulting in an amount not to exceed $164,000. And we have on the phone with us one of the consultants who's been working with us, Don Boeagle. Number three is authorization to purchase 35 new Dell computers. $196,042.04. And these computers will support the Housing Authority's efforts to ensure that the staff who are transitioning to working remotely and have transitioned to working remotely have the most updated equipment here in the agency. Number four through number 14 are all the same item. It's the Housing Authority's request to the board to approve employee systems, also known as CalPERS, resolution for various units of our represented staff team to ensure that the authority's contribution under the Public Employees Medical and Hospital Care Act is in line with agreed upon MOUs. It's a technical item that we often bring to the board when there's been a change in healthcare fees that align with Kaiser Permanente. And so that concludes the items that are on consent.
Do we have a motion?
Chair, I have a question on the health premium increases.
Yes.
This is Commissioner Zheng Li. I've been a longtime Kaiser member, and this year Kaiser actually reduced my premium because of their being able to provide less services during the COVID pandemic with their increased focus on serving people with COVID. If Kaiser reduces their premiums, does the housing authority also get the benefit of that with their contracts with employees?
Thank you, Commissioner. To address that question, again, for the consent calendar, I'm going to turn the mic over to Drew Felder, Director of Human Resources.
Good evening, commissioners. This is Drew Felder. Can everybody hear me clearly?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, to answer your question, Commissioner Zheng Li, no, that is not a provision in any of the agreement, in any of the agreements, because during the year, Kaiser Permanente for different programs can sometimes reduce their costs, but for what we've seen in CalPERS, that hasn't happened in my experience. So that particular way to reduce the cost during the year isn't a part of it because they change only one time a year for us. So once it's set, it's set.
I see. Okay, thank you.
Chair, do I need to recuse myself? This is Mark Tortorich on this specific item. I didn't see Kaiser mentioned on the item, but obviously as an employee of Kaiser, could be appeared as a conflict?
That is actually a question for Jennifer, I think.
And I'm just about to answer. I think that, okay, you probably don't need to, Commissioner Tortorich, but because we weren't thinking about that in advance, and that's because there are complex rules about when there's a remote financial interest, I would advise you to recuse yourself just because we didn't analyze it.
Yeah, and happy to do that.
Okay, so Commissioner Tortorich is recused.
I'll move the consent agenda. This is Commissioner Griffin.
I'll second Commissioner Montgomery.
Okay, moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, thank you. The item carries. So we're now moving on to item F, recognition of people wishing to address the commission. Do we have any requests?
We have no persons indicating a request to address the commission.
Okay, very good then. We will then move on to written communications.
Thank you, commissioners. The first item in written communications is your monthly report for each of the departments. You will find updates on our leasing and property activity, updates on our ability to serve residents during the time of COVID, and updates on our real estate development projects. Of note is that the Housing Authority is continuing in its management of OP properties to respond to the model of public safety, looking at each property and the need to be responsiveness for dumping and accumulation of trash, as well as eyes on the property and engagement of with residents. The engagement with residents and participants of our Housing Choice Voucher Program is in alignment with our leased housing FCP and property management team. And that is the first item behind. Are there any questions from the commissioners for the monthly report? Moving on to executive director written comments, you have the COVID expenditure tracking dashboard as the first item, as well as the dashboard for actions that we have taken in alignment with the various waivers for the Housing Authority, and also the tracking dashboard sheet for operations and the internal tracking for all things under IT and all of our other departments. Behind that, you will have the most recent direct to you to all staff, which this particular edition, I elected to highlight not just the activities that we have been doing to serve all of our communities, but some great photographs of our OHA staff team doing their good work, social distancing and with mask on, distributing PPE, groceries, and community services and site meetings to our residents. And behind that, you will have a acknowledgement from Macias, Gino, and O'Donnell for a positive independent audit of the Housing Authority for the fiscal year of ending in 2019. So congratulations to our finance team, Director Victor Madama, and all the leadership and members of the Housing Authority for doing our good work on handling our finances. Behind that, you're going to have the 2021 holiday schedule for the Oakland Housing Authority, as well as the commissioners' meeting schedule calendar for 2021. The one update that I would have provided regarding program and advocacy operations, Ms. Dunlap provided on our responsiveness to CIDLAC. We've been very much engaged with our partners over this item. And then I think the only thing else I would add is that, as we talked about a little earlier, there has been a impact to the families that we serve, like so many of us and our neighbors, on an increase in crime and an increase in violence. And I am proud that we as a housing authority with our police department is being able to respond, and our services team able to reach out to families who have had the impact from these tragedies. But I also just wanted to publicly acknowledge that this uptick in violence is something that we at the Housing Authority are very concerned for the safety and well-being of the families we serve and our staff, and just kind of put out a community plea for persons to find a different way to engage in disputes and interactions. But we've had so much in these last few months. I wanted to acknowledge that it deeply impacts the staff as we are trying to help our families navigate this time, both due to violence as well as the impact of COVID-19. So while that is kind of not the way we want to end 2020, the way to go into 2021 is to highlight the fact that through this past 12 months, the staff of the Oakland Housing Authority has learned how to navigate working remotely, providing services and engagement through technology, through phone calls, through newsletters, through walking the property and the sites, joining in partnerships with other entities to try to leverage and complement the work that we're able to do as a staff team, and being supportive of one another as a staff team, as well as our residents, as we've all been impacted on the trials and the trauma that this year of 2020 has left us. And what I have found as executive director, that the resilience and the ability to pick ourselves up and dust ourselves off when we've had some challenges or made mistakes is what makes the Housing Authority team here in Oakland a phenomenal team. And I have hopes that as
Amen.
2021,
Amen.
We will continue to work together. We will continue to figure out ways not just to preserve the good work that we do today, but through partnerships and resources and leveraging, figure out how to be creative and do much more good work for tomorrow. And so as our last meeting for 2020, I just wanted to highlight the fact that while we've had challenges and there's been trauma and we've had some sadness, we are ending the year grateful for one another and looking forward to doing great things in 2021. And that concludes my report.
Thank you, Patricia. The next item is reports from commission committees.
Commissioner Montgomery here. The safety committee did meet this month, and I'm happy to report that we had a great meeting, and I see that good results came out of the meeting. And to Patricia and staff, we're with you 100%, the commissioners, and whatever you do, and we realize that you're facing challenges, but I do believe that we're going to get through this in 2021. So I congratulate you and the staff for all that you've done. And as a part of the safety committee, we're going to work very hard to try to make that things are better in 2021.
Thank you, Commissioner. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Do we have any announcements by commissioners? My goodness, that means we are about to adjourn to closed session.
Thank you, Chair. So with that adjournment to closed session, all those who are staffing closed session, that concludes this Zoom meeting for public session until the end of closed session. So please log into the next Outlook. I'm being reminded by Ms. Mendoza, we need a motion to adjourn to close session.
I still move to adjourn.
Okay. Second. We are now moving to closed session.